the greatest number one waste in construction is guys not having clear instructions of what they should do. Be profitable in your business. You estimate your job, go out and do the work, and then evaluate. And that's what busy makes the easiest.
Do you feel you should be further along in your contracting business? Are you tired of not making the money that you know that you're worth? Or maybe you're winning, but you just want to win at a higher level. I'm Tom Reber, and this is the Contractor Fight. Turn this shit up and get ready to earn more respect, earn more money, and be a better leader in your business. Oh, and P.S., this show is not for thin-skinned people. If you offend easily or have a victim mentality, you should probably just move the fuck on right now. Let's go. All right, fighters, today I'm excited to bring Isaac Barlow on the podcast. He is the founder of a pretty cool platform called Busy. You guys know, if you've listened to this show, how big I am on you paying attention to the numbers of your business and stuff and tracking your time and this and that. Well, check out Isaac's story here and what Busy can do for you guys. I think you'll be pretty impressed with it. Let's go. Isaac Barlow, what is up today? Welcome to the fight.
Thanks, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Good. I didn't know what I was going to say there, so I just kind of stumbled through it. But
it's good.
So listen, I don't know, a long time ago, I came up with this thing, and I don't know if I heard it somewhere else. But anyway, I've been saying it for a long time that I think business is 90% of what's between your ears, which is what the Contractor Fight is all about, the fight between our ears. And it's 10% math. And we're going to talk about a little bit of the both today, but probably a little bit of more of the math, because you have a platform that helps contractors unfuck their math.
And that's so, right.
So I wanted to, I just want to dig right in here today and figure out, share with people, you know, what I've been able to see on the back end and stuff of what you guys have going on. But can you introduce, give us a high level introduction of who Isaac is first? Let's start with that. Maybe a little bit of your background, then we'll get into Busy.
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is in construction. I grew up a contractor, grew up in a family of contractors. So more specifically excavation. Mm-hmm. So Salt Lake City is where I grew up north from where I currently live, where it's cold and snow, similar to Denver, but maybe a little bit colder. Anyway, grew up in the construction industry. Like all good families, they immediately threw me in the trench and gave me the worst jobs possible, and I kind of had to work my way through. So I ended up working my way through the trenches, literally, and then through different positions of the company where I, you know, was labor, pipe layer, operator, job site foreman, end up being project manager, estimator, general manager, and then running the business. And so kind of went through all aspects of a construction company. So I've been there, done that. Even, you know, things I'm not very proud to say, I've repaired live sewer lines. I've done some pretty shitty things. Okay.
Literally.
Literally. I've been there, done that.
Well, and that's honestly, we get reached out to a lot by people, you know, for different platforms and stuff. And there's a lot of good things out there. But one of the things that drew me to you guys right out of the gate was your background. And I think that's really important. In fact, earlier today, I just recorded Jean Brownhill from a company called Sweeten. Okay. And she's lighting up the world, connecting homeowners and GCs together in a pretty unique model that nobody else is doing. And she comes from an architectural background. So she had worked with contractors for 10 years. You know, and that's what I appreciate about having people like you on, is that you know what it's like to be the guy in the trench and, you know, getting dirty and stinky and being tired and making 12, 14 bucks an hour and, you know, whatever. And that's as the business owner, right? No. So one day you woke up and you had an idea, apparently, because that's usually how this stuff starts, right?
That's right.
Okay. That's right. Tell us about that.
Okay. So basically you know, even though I grew up in a construction family, I'm probably a nerd at heart. And what I mean by that is I've always liked the data, the numbers. And I was always the guy that was crunching the numbers at the end of the job. I'd like, give me the estimate, give me the numbers. I want to know hours plan, materials plan, and I'm crunching that every night so that I can set goals for the next day and just run my jobs. And because of that, I was really profitable. So,
geez, Isaac, get a life, man.
I know, right? Now, this was all actually prior to getting married, so I did have more time.
Okay,
there.
So you had some time. All right, there you go. No, that's awesome. So you're crunching the numbers, and you start seeing a pattern or a story being told, or what's going on here?
That's right. So I'd run projects, and that was the same time. Like the negotiation I'd always have with my brothers, because they're managing times, I said, just stop paying me by the hour. I just want a percentage of profit. Like, just give me a percentage of profit, because I had that kind of confidence in myself. So we could do this one job, and we, you know, and I'm dialing things in, you know, I'm learning how to motivate my crew, learning how to give them their expectations, their numbers every day. Here's what you got to hit. Here's what you got to accomplish. We're killing it. And so I go to this one job, and we have all that data, and we are just killing it. More higher production rate than we have on any other job ever. You know, we're installing underground utilities, sewer, water, et cetera. So we go in, for instance, and we get all the sewer line in, and I call the Lancer, you know, the guys to stake the sewer. I call them 2 days later. I say, hey, we need the water stakes. And they said, we staked your sewer 2 days ago. And I said, no, I'm done. I need water. And they said, that's impossible. They come out to the job site just to verify that we were done. Mm. So we're being that productive. And there's a point to this. So we were being that productive. It was the most productive I'd ever seen a job go every day, motivating the guys. Here's your numbers. Here's what you got to hit. Let's see if we can beat them, on and on and on. So by the end of the job, we get done. Literally the highest production I've ever seen in my life. And I ask the office, you know, how do we do? So, well, you guys sucked. You lost 27 grand. I was like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. If I lost 27 grand, then we should get out of business. There is no money to make here, because I've never seen a higher production rate, which of course I didn't think that was the problem. So that made me, I'm the kind of guy that I can't stand to not have the answer. Like, why did that happen? So I had to dig into the job, dug into the estimate, found out that the estimate was botched from the beginning. And so what they really should, if they really would have known their numbers right, which I know you talk about this a lot, they would have said, thank you for helping us not lose 100 grand. Like, we were so productive, we basically minimized the losses.
Wow.
And so the good thing was, in this case, I was kind of a shield between me and the crew, because you imagine passing that on the crew saying, oh, you just did the best performance we've ever seen and you guys all suck.
Yeah.
And so we were able to just move to the next job, right?
Because it was no fault of theirs, right?
That's
the thing. A lot of guys are blaming their crews for not making money. My guys are slow, or this or that. When right out of the gate, you just weren't charging enough, you know, because to recover overhead or whatever. So
they lost the battle before they started, and not knowing their numbers made it to where they blamed the crew.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So that made me dig in deeper. And so basically Busy came out of me digging in and trying to get the numbers. And you know, my nature is to be very analytical. So I was trying harder and harder. I would try to collect all the information from the field. It would come in illegible, inaccurate, all those things. I had a secretary full-time. Well, probably 3/4 of her time was just gathering data in from the field. So about 45 guys, to put that in context.
Wow.
And, you know, Busy was born out of me trying to get information out of the field, you know, because we started right after the iPhone was introduced. And I was like, oh my gosh, we now have a mobile data collector.
Yeah. And what, how many years ago was this that you started it?
I had that vision in 2007, started doing market research in 2009, and officially launched programming in Busy in 2011.
So 2011. And
didn't start selling until 2014.
Okay. So give people a kind of a overview of what the platform does, what's all available, some features or things like that.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So basically, the primary thing it does is it collects time. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that can sound pretty simple off the get go, but you know, if anyone gets into it, it's a lot more complicated than that. So it collects time in 3 different ways, which it's the only platform out there I'm aware of that does that. So you can either do it where the guys are clocking themselves in and out. They can attribute their time to the project, to the cost code, to the equipment. They can collect photos and notes and other documentation from the field. That can also be done by their supervisor, if that's how the company chooses to operate. And it can also be done kiosk mode, where it has the biometrics where they can just walk up to the job site, clock in and out with their photo recognition on an iPad. And all of that data comes together and is aggregated in a way that the office can use it for payroll or for job costing or for, you know, whatever. The thing we promote the most, of course, is job costing.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Cause that's the, I'm always talking to guys here about the whole job costing thing. And it's, that's when I find you really start waking up to the numbers of your business. It was when you job cost a few projects like you guys did in that story. You know, it's funny, you were talking about collecting time, and I flashed back to, this had to be 2003, 2004, 2005, somewhere in there, where I was, I had like 20, 22 painters in the field or whatever. And we had the job clock. You ever remember the job clock where you bolted onto the house or the job site, and they had those little, fob things that you touch to it, and it clocks guys in and out. Then I had to go around all the job sites, and I have to put the reader on the thing or whatever and collect, download the data and stuff. And it's just crazy how far we've come, with that. So
it used to be a lot of effort to collect that data.
And I know, you know, we have some of our coaching groups and stuff, and one of the biggest struggles for contractors is keeping track of the time and job costs, and they just don't know where to start. So I love that, that there's something out here that's dedicated to the construction industry. So how many users do you guys have right now?
We have about 23,000 users. About 16 or 17,000 of those are paying users, and the rest are free users. So what we decided to do is we decided to do what we called the war on paper. We ended up identifying, and this is true still today, that our primary competitor wasn't other softwares, it was paper. You know, just people doing legacy, collecting data legacy-wise. So we made our system to where that it's entirely free for any contractor out there. They can do this for their entire team. They can use BusyBusy. They can put all their team members on. They can collect their data by project and cost code and everything, and pull the data in from the field and process their payroll. They can do all that for free. So what we basically said is anything you can do on paper, you can do for free on BusyBusy. Hmm. What we end up charging for is if they want to go beyond that to start looking at their analytics, their reports, and data like that to help run their business. So our goal in that was to say, hey, get off paper, just go digital. There's no reason to spend that hassle anymore. You can use it. And the reports are sufficient to, you know, they're better than you'd ever get the paper, but they aggregate the data.
Yeah. What's, if you could wave a magic wand over the construction industry right now, what do you fix? Or are you already doing that?
well, if you don't mind me going on a tangent for a minute, what I would fix primarily is leadership mindset. Okay. Number one. And I've watched your video on leadership mindset, and I agree with every point of it. But the biggest problem I have when I'm talking to contractors is getting them to realize the value of the data. You know, you'll have guys out there. So you're in the painting industry. So say your cost of a guy, everything that he costs per month, his payroll, his truck, his money on top of that, whatever that is, say that's $5,000 a month. Okay.
Yeah.
In excavation, you can at least times that by two, maybe three, depending on the size of equipment. And what I'm talking about is the resource that guy is managing, resource your business.
Yeah.
I mean, I see guys worry about, you know, oh, I can't afford to pay $10 a month to manage that. And I'm not even talking about the CEO of BusyBusy. I'm talking about, I currently have ownership in a land development company, an excavation company, masonry company, and a small home building company.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you can't, in your mind, figure to afford, I don't even care if it's $100 a person, but anywhere between zero and 100, to get the right data to properly manage that resource to make sure it's productive for you and making you money, then you really have a mindset problem. You know, whether BusyBusy is a good fit or not, doesn't matter. Your mindset needs to be, I need to find the right fit for my business, to get the data to manage those resources.
You know, I used to have a mindset problem, big one, many years ago when, we first started having company meetings each week, you know, operations meetings. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm going to have this many guys sitting in the room, not doing anything. And I'm going to be stroking a check for that amount of time. And a lot, I had a lot of head trash around that. And I know a lot of people do, but then, you know, I trusted the process, and my business partner at the time and I, we bit the bullet. And what we found is within like 30 days, our efficiency was through the roof, you know, scopes were clear. Upsells were better. Like we were making, I don't know, 8 or 10% more gross profit, literally like within 30 days, just by investing in our people. So I totally get what's been, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I can totally comprehend that. That makes perfect sense to me.
What's been one of the biggest, mindset shifts you've had to make over the years as a business owner? What are some of the things maybe you struggled with?
I guess I better caveat that. As a construction business owner, probably, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay. probably the biggest thing I struggled with was just learning how to motivate people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to not expect people, you know, if your nature is that you go out there and you're going to be motivated and you're going to be driven and you're going to look at the whatever numbers you have, you're just going to try to set expectations. Realizing that that is not something that just automatically happens, that, you know, and I know, you know, I've listened to your video on A players and, you know,
right.
FWs, right?
Yep.
But realizing you've got to either hire those or create those, you know, motivate them, get them to that nature. That was probably the biggest mindset shift I had to go through to realize how much I needed to not only hire the right team, but learn to properly motivate. And I guess maybe the right word is maintenance. It's like cultural maintenance, you know, and maybe that's the right answer. Learning that I needed to invest in the culture of the company so that I attracted the A players and motivate them.
Man, that's huge. And the older I get and the longer I do things and the more things I'm involved in and companies and, you know, even as a high school football coach and things like that, it always comes back to culture.
Yeah.
And culture will make or break you. And most of us, and I've been there, we end up with a culture that we didn't intentionally set out to get.
That's right.
And so we all have a culture. So I'm curious, through the years in your construction businesses, what are some ideas you can give guys that are listening to this that are in that position where, you know, they're realizing that, hey, I got to wake up and take control of my culture here. How would you recommend some things that maybe worked for you in the past to help you develop yours?
I'll give just a couple things. So to me, culture is a big discussion. Like, you know, number one, when I advise companies or, you know, I consult with some companies, I tell them the two pillars of success for your business are systems and culture. Those are the two things you have to have to be successful. And culture is huge. And so I guess the number one thing I would say is respect. And the reason I say respect is the biggest thing, your culture is you have to run a company that you yourself would be okay working for. Like, would you yourself work in any of the positions in your company? And if you're not creating a company with a culture where, you know, A players, if you will, can come there and have a feeling of self-respect that they can go home to their families and feel like they're part of a profession, part of a team that actually means something and where they can feel proud of their job. If you create a culture of disrespect or, you know, belittling or hostility, whatever it is, and I'm not talking about setting expectations, I'm talking about emotions.
Yeah.
You're creating a culture that you yourself probably wouldn't work for. And yeah, so you need to create 100%. A culture that you would work for.
Yeah. I, frequently do talks and trainings for people. And when we get into the whole, culture part of it, one of the biggest fears that we have as human beings is and there's a number of them, but one of them is actually chaos.
Yeah.
Like we fear chaos. And so a lot of people wonder why they can't seem to attract and retain better people, more talented people and FWs and things like that. And a lot of times it comes down to the chaos, meaning
That's right. It's,
they don't have the systems in place to let people know what's going on in the company, right? You know, how much work is on the board or where am I going tomorrow? I mean, I know there's people listening to this right now that are sending a text to their crew at 10 or 11 o'clock on a Sunday night going, this is where you're going on Monday morning. Like, and I've been there. Like, I get that. Sometimes that's just how it plays out. But there's that or the chaos of not knowing how I can advance in a company where, you know, like I've always said, FWs are not going to stay in a business where there's not a clear future to keep winning.
That's right.
Okay. And Absolutely. So yeah, you, and to me, this is all respect. This is, you know, respecting them.
Yeah. It's opportunity. It's like, say, you know, if you're a true FW, you're not going to stay somewhere there's no opportunity.
Right. Yeah. I want to win.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to better myself and I want accountability and I want challenges and recognition. All right, fighters, $100,000 a year is not too much to ask. Listen, when our parents were younger, 100 grand was a lot of money. When I was growing up, 100 grand was a lot of money. Today, it's barely enough to get by in America, especially if you're a business owner. You got a lot of responsibilities. Everyone's got a handout, man. You got your subs, your employees, your vendors, your customers, your family, the doctor, your lawyer, the IRS, the state. Everybody wants a piece of the damn action. And quite frankly, the bills are never going to stop. Okay? Sadly, most contractors just think, I got to work harder and harder and harder and harder to make more money. Yet you're putting in all this time, putting in all this effort, and you're wondering, why am I still at 50, 60, 75 grand a year when I'm working my ass off? Listen, that's where I wanted to share with you guys a resource that we have, a kick-ass program called the 100K Contractor. Guys, this program is designed to do just that. It's to get you as a contractor business owner to at least $100,000 a year in personal income, all right? So I want to just share this domain with you guys because, listen, at the end of the day, you deserve it. Your family deserves it. It's time we quit stealing from our families. We've got a lot of cool stuff inside the 100K Contractor. So if you go to thecontractorfight.com/100K-contractor, you can see what we got going on. We've got a couple of videos where things get explained and get you guys set up on the right path toward your 100K personal income. You guys rock. Let's get back to busy, busy.
Okay.
All right. What are a couple other things that you wish more people knew about the service or the platform?
Yeah, thanks. Probably just how much data it can give you on your company. So the way I often try to promote is I call it, you know, we call it the construction accounting cycle. Sometimes we call it the construction triangle, but to be profitable in your business, you basically estimate your job, which is making a plan. Okay. Mm-hmm. You go out and do the work, which is executing on that plan. And then the third step you should always do is evaluate to see whether what you thought was going to happen is what happened, right? Yeah. Like I tell me hours. And so the number one place that most people get bit on is the variable data. And the variable data is the cost of your manpower. And in my industry, you know, excavation and your machines, it's the time cost of the resources you're putting into it, aside from your materials and subcontractors and things like that. Well, to match those up with unit production measurements is probably the hardest thing to do. And that's what Busy Busy makes the easiest. So the reason we started with collecting time, that was never my vision. I didn't say, hey, I want to create a timekeeping company. Yeah. I said, I want to get the data from the field so that I can understand whether things are going the way we planned or whether we're making our plan right. So Busy Busy collects all this data for you. It makes it super easy. It's super cheap, but we charge about $10 a month per person, per employee, you know. And we do all this and we make it simple and easy and aggregate it. We give you historical data. We give you photographs that are all attributed to your projects that you can use, you know. So like you talked about taking before and after pictures, all that stuff. We have that all integrated into the app and we make it super simple. In addition to all of that, as a tech company, what we do is we continually have to keep up with Google and Apple and the emerging technologies of the day. So what it allows you to do is for basically $10 a month per employee of yours, you don't have to worry about all that. You have a system that can handle all that as long as you can get buy-in.
What I'm hearing right now going on in the minds of contractors hearing this, because okay, this is the feedback hear from people all the time, is they have a really hard time, and I'm just going to call them out on their shit right now. Okay. They have a really hard time being disciplined with something. Like, and I know you've been in this industry long enough to know what I'm talking about here. Like the CRM that you use or the app that you use or the system that you use is only as good as if you use it and input the data and are disciplined. So what do you tell that person who might be not the most organized or disciplined person right now about job costing and this and that, and maybe just some, I usually just tell them to get their heads out of their asses and be disciplined, but I know sometimes that approach doesn't always work. So I'm just curious, you're more analytical. I'm not. So I'm curious how you would encourage that person to, you know, step their game up in that area, because this shit matters. Like, why would you be in business and go through all the shit that we go through just to be broke on the other end of it? Like, to me, it's ridiculous. So it is.
And by the way, I love the flavor of how you put it, because I love just how you bring it down to earth and real. Cause that's what it is why are you doing what you're doing? Like, I guess just to step backward, when I did my research, I told you I did market research from 2011. I researched the construction industry as a whole. What I wanted to know is, hey, am I the only one that suffers with these problems, or does everybody suffer with the same problems? And what I found out is everybody suffers with the same problems, which you already know. And so in the data, it says that at least 70% of construction businesses go out of business within 7 years. So if 100 of us go to Survivor Island by year 7, there's only 30 of us left. Okay.
Yep.
then I tried to find out the why. I told you I'm a why guy. I got to find out the reason. So I started researching the why. Well, the best why came from bonding companies because they don't want to bond someone that's going to fail, right? Mm. So because there wasn't a lot of information. So basically what the data said or what the information said is that people didn't fail because they didn't know their trade skills. There was almost no data on somebody failing because they were bad tradesmen. All the data was, it basically came down to this. The failure was due to a lack of sufficient information to run your company. That was it. It was sufficient data systems and business systems and information. And so you're exactly right that they shouldn't even be in business if they're not willing to invest in these information systems because they're going to end up out of business. And if you're not yet, it's just because you're lucky or you're in a high economy or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Downturn's going to sweep you away. And so, and the way I would recommend stepping into it is sometimes, you know, it can feel like meeting an elephant to start getting into data systems, right?
Right.
So you just bite it off a piece of time. And that's why we started with the free version of Busy Busy saying, hey, let's just replace your paper time cards. Like just take one thing you're doing. You have to pay your guys, you know, you've got to pay them. They're going to quit you if you don't. Take one thing you're doing, like, you know, tracking your payroll and just digital, just make that digital. It'll make your life easier. You'll stop having to go to the field to collect time or, you know, to collect time cards, stuff like that. And then after that, you start changing your habits because the hardest thing for the leaders and the employees to do is to change their habits.
Yeah.
So you get the habit change where, okay, we're starting to do the same thing we've done paper only, we're going digital and we're collecting all the data from the field. And then later on, you can take that next step of, okay, let's start attributing that time to our projects. So we start getting project level data. Don't even worry about your cost codes yet. Let's just see if you're making
right.
one project,
right.
project, you know?
Yeah.
So step into it a piece at a time and kind of shift the culture of your business. And what most of them find out once they do it, like one customer of ours said it really well. He said, Busy Busy was like 2 months of hell, but then heaven after that. You know, because once you start getting the data and you start going, oh my gosh, this is awesome data. Even the employees in the field end up liking it because they can look at their app. It tells them how many hours they have. It tells them overtime. They can predict their paychecks. They can predict what's going on. So I would say just eat the elephant one bite at a time.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking, I have a presentation on online training I'm doing for a company later today. And one of the first things I'm talking about, I'm setting the stage for why it's important to know your numbers and stuff. And, and I'm going to open with a story of one of my first couple years in business. I had $55,000 in the bank account at the end of the year.
Okay.
And I remember going, how the hell did that happen? Yeah. Like, yep. Like you're talking about being a why guy. That's what made me think of this. And one of the things I always tell people, I'm like, losing money or making money is not really the issue. It's understanding why. Either
That's
way.
Right.
Like to me, yeah. it's, and I couldn't answer why I made money that year. And then I've had years, you know, where we lost money and I couldn't answer why.
Yep.
And that's why the data is so important. That's why job costing and all those things are so important is it helps you, you know, like if you go fitness, right? You're like, I just don't understand why I keep gaining weight. You know,
yeah.
Well, if you start looking at what you're eating,
yep,
you have, you know, pasta dinner for lunch and, or pasta for lunch and pizza for dinner every night, followed by 6 or 7 IPAs before you go to bed and you don't move your body, then that's probably why. And so here it's kind of the same thing, right? We're just overspending. You're analytical. You're probably familiar with, what is it? Parkinson's law, where the time needed for a task will expand to the time made available and all these other things. So if you don't have a target, we did work for this custom builder years ago and we had two houses that were like across the street from each other that were being built at the same time.
Okay.
And we got the trim packages all done and sprayed and beautiful. All we had to do was paint the walls and the houses were like identical. And I put one crew in one house and another crew in the other house. And one crew, I said, yeah, this needs to be done. This house needs to be done. That's all I said. And here's the colors. And the other crew, I gave man hours for every room and I gave targets. And the one crew, finished, you know, painting the walls in this 4,000 square foot home, two coats, all this other crap, you know, like in 2 days and they were done. And we made more than a 50% gross profit on that part. And the other crew took almost the whole week.
Yeah, I believe it.
Because it's just, if you don't have a target. So again, this helps you, you know, like you said a minute ago, you make the plan, you execute the plan, then you evaluate the performance.
Yep.
And this does all that. Now, obviously, I assume this integrates with QuickBooks and stuff like that. So it's easy to...
Integrates with QuickBooks that has import-export for a lot of the other softwares. Where you can just CSV export. In the analogy you just said, the other thing we do is we let you put in your budgeted man hours for the project, and you can even let your supervisor see that on Busy. So like, you know, as the admin, you can control whether they see money or just hours.
Yeah.
Basically allows you to set the targets within Busy. So as the supervisor's doing it, they can see that. The reason this matters so much is like a supervisor that's running a big crew, it's easy to lose track of that. And so on our app, you can see it every day. You know, here's my allotted man hours for the project. Here's how much I've used up of that.
I love that. This is why we're on this podcast here today. Just, you know, this is why I wanted you to be here, and I wanted to introduce what you're doing to the contractors, because I have so many conversations where guys are like, Tom, I can do my estimate and then I can hand a scope to my guys with the hours, but then how in the world do I track all these employees out there and all this other stuff? And like you said, it's you're fighting the paper, right? It's the paper war. And I just, you know, as long as they clock in and clock out, I think we're good. Right. And so that's,
And I can tell you my contractor version of how I feel about when they don't want to collect data for me, you know?
All right. What do you got?
it's a little bit more, I guess, harsh than if I was talking to the CEO of Busy, but basically, so to attribute the time and job costing, when you clock in, you clock in, right? Number one, you select your project, which is not hard. It'll even show you your recents. You select your cost code, which, you know, I usually try to keep those simple as far as a contractor goes. Mm-hmm. And in my world, in excavation, you select the equipment you're running, and it's also in your recents. And a lot of times it's even pre-filled for you, because in Busy, we allow the administrator to create a schedule for their crews, which if the crew is just doing what they're scheduled, they can just say, yeah, I'm doing that. You know, the thing that was planned, I'm doing, right? If a guy's not willing to do that for me, I feel like it's this level of disrespect to me as the office or administrator. I think it's the equivalent of if you were working for me and said, okay, I don't want to come pick up my check. You know, you come deliver it to my house.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, really, screw you, man. Like, why the hell are you so damn disrespectful to me that you can't take a couple moments and just give me the data I need to do my job? Because as the office administrator estimator, if I can do my job right and run a profitable company, then I can provide more work for you. I can keep that, you know, whole system, you know, the oxygen, right? I keep that whole game running, and that helps me to give you more opportunities, helps me to give raises, whatever the case is. I can keep that whole system running. And if you're not willing to take the 5 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever it is in a day to do that for me, in my opinion, as a contractor, I don't want you on my team. I just have no use for you.
Love that. I love that. And I feel the same way. Like, if I'm putting a system in place that ensures you get paid,
yep,
then you better damn well embrace the frickin' system.
Yeah, exactly.
I've implemented. It's non-negotiable. It's like, this is how you get paid. And when you wonder why your fucking paycheck didn't show up, it's because you didn't push the damn button or fill the thing out or whatever it is. It's that simple. Like,
It couldn't be easier. It's literally so easy that if you can't do that, I don't know how you can perform any task, because it's not, we didn't make it real complicated. We made it purposely simple, because we thought about, like you pointed out earlier, I've been in the trench. I've been covered with mud and dirt and everything else. Yeah. We made sure it matched that kind of environment. So it's super easy.
Yeah. I mean, even selfishly, I'm just sitting here going, okay, if I'm back as an employee again, selfishly, if I'm just the most money hungry, selfish person in the world, I'm going to fill that damn thing out because I want to get paid.
That's right.
Like, you know, it's, I don't know.
I want to know what I'm going to get paid, you know?
Yeah.
I want to know what I'm going to get paid. So yeah, it does that. And that's how I feel about data. And it's because of my contracting experience, because I've gone through all the hard effort and, you know, it's like you're putting on your private investigator hat when you're trying to do job costing. Like, you know, you got to search through all the clues and everything, because people aren't willing to just give it to you easily. Mm-hmm. And if they have a system, if you put a system, whether it's Busy or whatever it is, okay, you put a system in place, your team should be using that system.
100%. So Isaac, as we wrap up, I'm going to ask you in a minute, you know, to share where we can find you. But before that, what's something I should have asked you or something we should have talked about that would help somebody be stronger in their business?
Well, I guess the main thing, and it, you know, might sound cliche, but they really need to shift their mindset into working on their business, not so much just in their business. You know, you've got to start looking at your business as this machine that you start. And it's not that you didn't ask it. This is what everything we've been talking about really is this. But in your mind, you've got to stop making your business a job that you're working in and start working on it so that you're continually trying to improve it. And that's why when I say systems and culture, that's your two keys to success. As the business owner, that's your job. You're the manager. You're the owner. Your job is to continue to make that business better and better. And whatever your systems and culture are, you should continually, you know, take step backs and look at it and say, what can I do to make that better?
Love that. So I lied. I have one more question. Okay. You talked about systems. And the reason I'm asking you this is you, although we align on a lot of mindset things, we're very different. Like you're way more analytical and things like that than I am and blah, blah, blah. So how would you answer this question? Because we get this question a lot. Guys, they read the E-Myth. They know they got to, you know, put in systems in their business. And this whole thing around systems seems like this mystical land of Oz to a lot of people. So how would you simplify the question, Isaac, how do I create systems in my business?
Okay, good. It's a very good question. So the first thing I'd simplify is take repetitive tasks that you're doing and start trying to automate them. You know, and I would consider payroll a repetitive task or collecting data, whatever the case is. You know, you mentioned the E-Myth, which is wonderful. I'm a huge fan of that book and that concept, but take repetitive systems. And the reason you do this, one of the reasons it makes you so much money to systemize your business is because when you system or systematize all these repetitive tasks, these mundane tasks, then it allows your focus to stay on making money. Keep your focus on driving new sales and running productivity and profitability instead of all these mundane systems. Because people say, oh no, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to pay attention to the field, right? I'm too busy to find marketing. I'm too busy. Get systems replacing your busyness so that you can focus on making money.
I love that. Love that. And it's so true because we want our best energy, our best time spent on the things that are going to move the needle.
Yes.
Move the chains, right? Like it's,
that's right.
And not the, not the things that we could automate.
That's exactly right.
Well, awesome. Well, listen, how can somebody find you guys to learn more about what's going on over at Busy? Where do we want to send them?
Best place, of course, our website, which is just busybusy.com, spelled B-U-S-Y. So busybusy.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook. You know, they can follow us on social media, but they can connect with us, and we try really hard to make it as easy as possible. Whatever level they're at in their business, we can work with them and take them in step by step. We have really great people that'll help integrate them and kind of hold their hand and walk them through the process.
I love it. And like you shared earlier, like if you go to Busy and just go to, I think it's /price, you guys can go there, sign up for the free version right now and, you know, start poking around under the hood and you know, heck, you can be forever free, right? If
that's right.
Your need. So it's
in fact,
fine.
I forgot to make probably one of the most obvious places, and that's the App Store. One of the reasons we free like that is we wanted the guys to be able to go to the App Store, download the app, have all their guys download the app and just start using it. You know?
Yeah. Well, I love it, man. I think it's, I tell you when you guys got me, here's where you got me. I'll tell you, I was poking around on your website and here, let me go there right now. And I ended up under the more tab, there's calculators. And when I started playing around with the calculators of like, you know, what your labor burden costs and things like that, I was like, oh my God, this is a awesome tool, you know, because me and my team, we're always like, I'm not an app guy. I don't have this shit. You know, it's not what I do. Right. So, and I was so happy to find something like this that was based in the trades that I didn't have, honestly, selfishly, I didn't have to just go, hey, let's create another spreadsheet that guys can download from the contractor fight, try to unfuck themselves with this. I love the fact that, you could pull up your mobile phone, you go there, you type some things in, and you're figuring this shit out. And so you got me on the calculators, and the fact, like I said before, that you're a guy that came up in the trades and things like that. And so, man, I really appreciate you, you know, being a part of the contractor fight here today. And any last words before we sign off?
Last word is just, you know, a compliment to you is Contractor Fight to me is so aligned with our vision of Busy Busy. Like I told our team, I said, Contractor Fight is the why of Busy Busy. That is our vision. Like everything you've said is exactly why we went into business. We went into business to help contractors be more successful. And I love your title, Contractor Fight, because I often tell people in the construction world, I say, as a contractor, we fight to get the work, we fight to do the work, and then we fight to get paid on the work. And yeah. So we need to get rid of it. And there's really more fights than that. But I just love that you call it Contractor Fight, because it does. It feels like a fight continually. Not saying it should be, but it certainly feels like that all the time.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate us connecting. I look forward to working together in the future. And everybody head over to Busy Busy. We'll put all the links in the show notes and stuff like that. Isaac, appreciate you being here. And have an awesome day. And Travis, rock us out with those guitars, and we'll talk to you guys next time on the Contractor Fight. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe and share this with another contractor, and go down to the description and check out the links over there to Busy Busy. You guys rock. We got a roll. We'll see you next time.
Want some fight swag to wear? Simply share this episode of the Contractor Fight anywhere on Facebook or Instagram using the hashtag #JoinTheFight. And our team will pick one winner each week to recognize your help in spreading the fight message.